Welcome to the WP SEO Show, brought to you by SEO Hive, your proactive white label SEO partner. The WP SEO Show is all about talking WordPress and SEO, from optimizations, structures, setups, and plugins. We explore how to make your WordPress website perform better in the search engines. Here are your hosts, Pete Everett and Jeff Patch.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the WP SEO Show. I am Pete and I'm joined by my co-host, my brother from another mother, Mr. Jeffrey Patch, all the way from the US of A. Hey Jeff, how's it going?
Hola, Pete. How's it going?
Hola.
That's crikey. I'm going to teach you some American vernacular now.
Oh, really? Is that? But that's not American. That's Spanish.
Well, we say it here, okay? We say it here. We're adopting it.
So this week is, we are the WP SEO Show, and some of our shows are very much more WP than SEO, but this isn't one of them. This week we are very much in the SEO camp of the of what we do, because we're going to be talking about Google's releases to do with their March 2024 algo update, which will be rolling out over, well, March, although it does reference certain dates in May as well. So at some point between now and the beginning of May, and we thought it'd be a good topic for a show.
Yeah, so this is one of those algorithm updates that all the SEO people on Facebook and LinkedIn groups and everything start freaking out about and losing sleep over, right? It's one of those?
Yeah, that's basically the one. Yeah, you've heard about it.
I've been like traumatized by responses to that over the years, and that's how I feel. Every time I hear about a Google algo up, I cannot say algorithm all the time, so I'm just going to say algo, but every time I hear about it, I'm like, oh no, it's going to happen, and that's never bad.
I mean, look, there's a few things that we need to point out with this. Firstly, the world will keep on turning. It doesn't matter what happens and how this rollout goes and how it affects certain parts of the world and the internet and everything else. The world will keep on turning. It isn't going to drive the world to a halt, I promise.
No, I think it's going to make the world turn better.
Well, sorry, go on.
Go ahead. No, please.
Okay, so the reason that we've picked this, and let's look, there's algo updates very, very regularly, and we don't mention all of them on the show, and we never will mention all of them on the show, because some of them are exceptionally dull. But the reason we've decided to pick this one is because this algo update isn't just an algo update that's affecting the way that Google looks at websites. This is actually a policy update, particularly to do with spam policies. And there are other things involved in it. You know, it's not just about spam policies. But actually, when you read between the lines, the policies don't say this. When you read between the lines, it's very much seems that part of the driving force behind this is cleaning up some of the repetitive AI content that is appearing on the internet. Now, for full transparency, the policies themselves do not mention AI content. That is my read on it. That is the way that we've been talking about it. And it's the way that other SEOs have been talking about it online. But yeah, that seems to be the gist behind it, which is why we thought it would be a good topic to speak about on the show.
Yeah, I mean, in Google's own words, at least in their blog post update, is they're reducing low quality, unoriginal results. And like, just for me, because again, I look at these things, I freak out about them a little bit when I see everybody freaking out about them. Then I actually read them and I always walk away going, this is great. I'm so glad this is actually being put into place. And maybe that's because we're not doing these spammy things that they want to get rid of. Or, you know, maybe that's just never been my prerogative or yours, I know. I look at it from a user standpoint. I use Google all the time. I want it to work well. I want it to give me good results. I do feel it's gotten better over the years. Even with AI lately, it's you find those in there, but I still feel like Google's results have gotten better. And with these latest updates, they say that their analysis is they're expecting basically spammy and unoriginal content in results to go down like 40%. Like that's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, and there are uses of AI content that is becoming quite annoying. We went and got a recipe off Google within the last week, and it was very obvious that AI had been used to write. Let me put it this way: nobody gets that passionate about a steak pasta bake. And it really doesn't transform life in the way that it was advocating it would. And it was just very obvious that, you know, AI was heavily used in the writing of that recipe, and it didn't add anything to it. It actually made it harder to follow than it should have been. And, it just wasn't a good use of Google's resources. So I fully understand why they are, approaching this. Now, as I say, the use of AI isn't categorically mentioned, and basically the updates to the spam policies fall into three sections, and the three sections are these. Firstly, expired domain abuse. So that is where you buy up old domain names which have authority or have a big backlink profile or already have good rankings, and then you change the content on those on that website in order to basically manipulate the SERPs because of that. The second is scaled content abuse. And then the third is site reputation abuse. And really it's the scaled content thing, which is where it is looking at how AI content is going to be used.
And I think, even removing the concept of AI from this, I feel like it still is focused on a lot of kind of semi-abusive, I'll refer to them as that, techniques that people have used. And I mean, like scaled content, yes, AI makes that a lot easier, but people have been doing that and it's been a problem. It's, you know, again, from the user standpoint, like how many times have you just dug through search results, even on sometimes the same website, because they have 27 articles about the same topic and just rehashing the same things and doesn't make any sense. Well, if Google can index it and see that there's different topics and it helps people in different ways, great. But when it's just the same thing over and over again, it's not beneficial to anybody.
No. And, you know, it's interesting that Google is having to pick up on this. In fact, there's a section, I've got it open on the other screen. There's a section in it which says, what's different from the old policy against automatically generated content? And the updated policy against scaled abuse. And it says, our new policy is meant to help people focus more clearly on the idea that producing content at scale is abusive if done for the purposes of manipulating the search rankings. So that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely, and you should, be putting your content out there at scale, but not the rehashing the stuff. You know what I mean? We've talked about it before. Content pillars, you know, categories. I mean, there's ways to organize your stuff. There's a way to put out a lot of info in quality matter.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, let's look at it this way. You know, if you're an author and you're trying to write a book about a particular topic, you don't write the book with the same chapter in six times, just worded in different ways to show that you're an authority on the chapter, an authority on the topic. You know, nobody would write a book like that. So why are people writing websites like that? I think that's kind of the crux of it there.
Yeah, that's not going to make me keep reading your book. No, it might make me keep reading your website, but only because I'm in a loop of hell and I can't find what I'm looking for. Your book I have thrown away by now.
I'd still give up on the website, I'll be honest.
I'm both easily distracted and extremely persistent. It is a quandary, let me tell you.
Well, look, I think the second part of this that's quite interesting is that it's they've linked the use of generated content, automatically generated content, to the scale. So that's another interesting point that you can read into this, which is Google in these new policies aren't saying you can't use AI to help you with content. But what they are saying is that you can't use AI or automatically generated content to produce the content at scale in order to manipulate the search results. So if you are stuck with something, if you are using AI to do a bit of background research or to give you a structure for something, that's still absolutely fine. If you use it to produce a single piece of content, I'd argue that nobody should ever really just take something out of AI and lift it and put it straight on the internet. But that's still not a problem in Google's terms. What they're trying to move away from is essentially these content farms that have been scaled up beyond, all human recognition now that AI is so readily available, AI tools are so readily available.
Yeah, I think they're probably, I'm totally speculating, but Google's using AI internally. They're not shy about it. They use AI for analytics and all this kind of stuff. But I wonder if they're going to start distancing themselves from a blanket anti-AI statement and, you know what I mean, fine tune what really is the problem. And hopefully that's overall positive. The concept of AI is fine with me, but, you know, in use, it's like you mentioned that recipe. I had the same thing. I think I talked about it on here before, but I had the same experience with like a WordPress tutorial, you know, just something I looked up to, hey, how do we, you know, how do we do this? And like, I kept looping back to the same same step over and over again. And I realized there was just a flaw in this logic and it made no sense. And if I actually looked at the whole tutorial, it was completely bonkers. And it's like, this literally doesn't work. It's just AI generated, isn't it? Okay. All right. Well, you guys got lost in that thought process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm amazed how many people generate content or think they can generate content without it adding that value or purpose to the user, you know, without thinking that, look, the whole purpose we generate content for in the first place is to get real human eyeballs on it, you know, views, sessions. So how can you produce something like that and actually put it online without considering what it actually looks like to the real human eyeballs that are going to be reading it at the other end? Because I tell you what, bot traffic doesn't make your sales.
No, but to be fair, think about a couple years ago, right? It wasn't uncommon for quote unquote SEOs to be publishing content that was like obviously for SEO, you know, mm-hmm. the keyword stuffed articles. You go to we always talk about Joe Plumber down the street, right? The hypothetical small business client. And they'd have, you know, 5 posts about, do you need a plumber in such and such city? And they would just rehash the same keywords over and over again. But if you actually read it, you're like, this is ridiculous. Whereas, and again, this is just like from my personal day-to-day experience, I first noticed really good content on dental websites from dentists. And not all of them, most of them are same thing. They're just brochure sites with like, you know, an appointment or lead gen form or something. But some of them have a lot of really good detail and it's unique content about, you know, the various procedures and all that stuff. Are people looking for info on that and trying to learn that from a dentist in their area? No, probably not. But they Google types of things like that. They find out their dentist, you know, has a bunch of content on it and they, oh, hey, you're an authority and you probably got some boost in the search rankings because of that. So I'm now a customer of yours. That's not what they thought, but that's what happened.
Well, and that's, you know, we work with a lot of legal firms and that is exactly the same. And there are certain niches where that does seem to work better than others. You're dead right. The in the last episode, we talked about keywords being like picking up a sheet and how kind of the sheet around it moves around the point that you pin or the points that you pinch. And it, you know, that is how you should think about your content. It is about filling in the gaps, filling in the jigsaw about whatever the topic is that you are wanting to rank for. And if you take, let's run with the analogy of the jigsaw. A jigsaw doesn't work if all the pieces are the same piece, right? You only have one of each piece of the jigsaw, because when you put them all together, it gives you the authority of the full-on photograph or whatever it is that the jigsaw's about. And your content is a bit like that. It needs to be like stepping stones that are building towards a bigger picture. Simply rehashing the same thing about, you know, let's take Joe the plumber as the example about, you know, these are the typical boiler repairs and then how we fix your boiler and how often your boiler needs to be serviced and what are the typical fixes we have when we service boilers. And, you know, it's all the same piece of the jigsaw over and over again.
But it works.
The real danger, I think, with this, and I came across this with a client the other week. We had a client, it was a white label client, so it was another agency, approached us to write some copy for one of their clients' websites. They were building a new website for a client, and we knew that they needed to have a whole load of extra pages. So they asked us for a quote to copyright those pages. Fast forward 5 or 6 weeks, and I'm talking to the agency owner about something else and say, hey, what about this copywriting quote that we did weeks ago? Has anything ever happened with that? And they came back and said, the client took a look at that and decided that it was a bit too expensive. So they've written the pages with ChatGPT. Instantly, my heart sank. knowing full well that the plan eventually is for this client to become a client of SEO Hives, actually, we are going to end up having to unpick that piece of the jigsaw. I haven't been and looked to see what the AI content is, but that is, yeah. And obviously no names, because we are going to have to. So sorry to tell you that. This podcast now become an internal briefing meeting, but yeah, we're going to have to unpick
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm learning about conundrum. This for the first time right now. So yeah. Like, oh, great. Okay, now I know what we got to do work on next week.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to unpick that little conundrum as time goes by. But yeah, and that's partly the danger. It's partly the danger of commoditizing anything, I think. You know, you make something so accessible to people who literally think that copy is words on a page, and actually this is what you're going to get. Whereas you still need a friend of mine, Bob Gentle, who we've mentioned on the show in the past. He likes to have his 80-20 rules. He applies 80-20 rules to everything, and he did this. I can't remember if it was a podcast he was on or a session that I was in that he was leading or something. And he mentioned that AI is still an 80-20 rule, but AI does the 80%. But the thing is that the 20% has to come after AI. You still have to have the squidgy organic human bit that goes on the other end. Now, I maybe don't agree with the percentages there, but I do agree with the philosophy. AI tools are not bad. We've said this before. As long as they are used in moderation, and the copy that you are generating is primarily designed to give value to the user. If the user gets to the end of it, what have they learned? What have they got out of it? You know, rather than just, hey, it's a web page.
Well, I've learned that Bob and I are kindred spirits, because I feel very, very similar with the whole 80-20 thing. I apply that to everything in life, and it's like, well, we got about 80% of it done. So, you know, with this, so that was easy. The last 20%, if it's going to be hard, all right, it's only 20%. Or, you know, same concept with AI, absolutely. And the same concept back, you know, in the old days when you would order, you know, content from like Upwork or something for a good deal. It's like, well, it's hopefully 80%, more like 60, but you know what you're getting, and then you've got to take it across the finish line. I mean, that's not a terrible concept, but
I would challenge that there are areas in life where the 80-20 rule shouldn't be applicable. Like,
I would, without even knowing what you're going to say, I'm going to agree. Exactly. There's definitely some areas in life that it shouldn't be applied for. But I'm curious what you're thinking.
Well, I never want to leave the shop with only 80% of a haircut, because the last 20%, it was too much hassle. I needed to get off early. So yeah, so I've only done 80% of it.
You could tell Pete's not losing his hair in his old age, because I'd be lucky to only get 80% of a haircut. Like, I would kill to only get 80% of a haircut.
Well,
I only get about 66% of one, if you know what I'm talking about.
I've also just said heart surgery. Actually, any surgery, for that matter. A surgeon should never apply the 80-20 rule when he's in the operating theater. So there are certain parts of life that it shouldn't be applied to. Just to throw that out there. In our general, you know, view of the world, I agree. It can be applied to most things. But don't take it as a life lesson.
Hey, you know, your surgeon probably does only do 80% of the work. And, you know, and then there's the other staff that does the cleaning and the sewing. And so maybe it does apply. Just have to get a little creative with your thinking there, Pete.
Okay.
Discuss it with your heart surgeon, okay? And let me know what they say.
I sit corrected. I mean, thank God, touch wood, I don't need a heart surgeon at the minute. So I'm going to I'll mention it to him next time I speak to him, which hopefully won't be for a very long time.
Hopefully never.
So, right. Okay. Well, that diverted the topic a little. So, but yeah, that's, I think it's interesting that Google is having to make this move. You know, and one of the reasons that SEOs are getting concerned, I should say, about this particular update is that when Algo updates happen, Google's a data company, so they don't normally like changing too many variables at any one time. You know, you do get your big updates, like, I can't remember all the names. You know, when we used to have Penguin and Panda and Thistle and whatever.
I've lost track of those, just like I did the Mac OS systems. I don't know. Are they still on cats, or are they on California cities now? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. Anyway, but that's normally, you have these big landmark ones that are kind of planned well in advance. And then other than those, generally the algo updates are a tweak here and a tweak there. And that's why you get so many of them, because they're just little like course corrections in different places that of course, over a period of maybe 12 months, add up to some significant changes. But they're course corrective movements. Whereas this one, even Google has openly said before it's applied them that this is an update to multiple parts of the algorithm. So this is like a, I'm not going to say unscheduled, because they've known it's coming, I guess, but it is a bigger than normal update than you would get with this kind of warning at this time of year.
I was just going over some of the site reputation abuse things, and I noticed that they specifically mentioned, like, basically paid advertising. You know, if you're publishing content like paid guest posts and stuff, I mean, I don't know how they know that unless it's clearly stated, but like, same thing, you know, you're right. If you're paying for that content out there, I would definitely like that to maybe not get the same credit. I don't know.
Well, and you know, there's another interesting point with that as well, isn't there? Because we used to engage in that side of things a little bit through SEO Hive when we had our link outreach pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those users that or listeners that haven't used our service or didn't use our service back in the day, we used to have a link outreach pathway whereby we couldn't guarantee links. We weren't running link farms or anything like that, which is, it's always awkward if people are guaranteed.
It was always organic outreach.
Always organic outreach. And when we started it, I don't have the exact numbers, but my gut feel is somewhere between 40 and 50% of the opportunities we got through asked for some form of payment. So you can have a guest post and it'll cost you $150 and you've got to provide the post. Or you can have a link and it'll cost you $30 or whatever. My gut says the lower side of half was where, when we started, the number that actually asked for some form of payment.
Yeah, by the time it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a significant percentage, but you could still, as a provider that was trying to gain links for clients, you know, of course we could present the ones that had a fee, but we could also offset it with a number of ones that didn't carry a fee. So there was, you know, look, we've got these free ones and we've got these ones over here that have also replied, but they're going to cost you some extra money. By the time we closed the service down, or one of the reasons why we closed the service down, was because it was like 99.9% of opportunities that came through required a payment. And when we were then trying to approach our agency partners with this, you know, we'd sign them up for a monthly fee for us to go and do the outreach. We'd go and do the outreach. We were actually quite successful at the outreach. We were getting opportunity rates of around about 30%, which was, you know, fantastic. But of those 30% of those opportunities that came through, you could probably count on one hand the number of opportunities in a month we'd get across all clients where they said that there wasn't a payment involved. They, you know, and our agency partners, they weren't going to foot the bill. We didn't have the, you know, we didn't have the profit to foot the bill for all the opportunities. The client, the end client, their opinion was, well, we're paying you to source us links, so why would we pay for more links, you know, more for the links now that you've found them? So hence the service just kind of cranked to a bit of a halt, really, because this was an abused process that was going on.
Yeah.
I think the real irony here is Google probably has some AI at work finding patterns in websites that have types of content that are generated. Maybe if the writing styles are very different between the blogs that are posted, maybe they have, you know, they have really random topics on the same blog, you know, they don't really fit together in terms of what would be classed as an organic keyword structure or whatever it might be. They'll have loads of signals that they're feeding into their data centers, which will give them a fairly good idea that a domain is paying for guest posts or being paid for guest posts. And it's all a bit sad, really. It just makes life harder for everybody.
Yeah, don't quote me on the, you know, legalities, and I feel like I should probably know specific, but it varies too much in locations and stuff. But I mean, you're supposed to be disclosing that anyway. So that's the easiest way for them to know, you know, obviously it's paid content or whatnot. And, you know, even as a reader, you'll see it at the time. Oh, you know, this post has been a sponsored post, and you kind of lose credibility, and instantly you go, right, maybe I'll read it, maybe not. Depends on the content. But, you know, if you're having that, if that's a common thing that people are reacting to this type of content, then I think Google is on the right path with it. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they just seem to be doing a whole load of cleaning up at the minute. A good bit of housekeeping. Do you have the expression life laundry, your side of the States?
Life laundry, no, but I think I want to start using that because it makes perfect. I get it instantly. I love it. I need to do some life laundry today. I'm so taking that one.
Right, well, you can put what that is on your other podcast. But yeah, why the hell did I start with life laundry? It feels like Google is doing that a little bit at the moment. It's getting its house in order, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this affects some of our client sites over the course of the next few weeks and months. Now, I should add that although they're calling it the March algo update, they are giving 60-day notices of some of the changes to the policies that they're having to enforce. So some of the pages, even though they're included in the March algorithm update, aren't actually in effect until the 5th of May 2024. So this is going to be something that's going to affect us over the next 2 or 3 months as different things get rolled out.
And even then, I imagine it'll be a process to even detect this type of stuff and start making those decisions and whatnot. But, you know, real fast though, you said something that I want to argue with you about it. You said you're interested to see how this will affect our clients, and I'm not, because I don't think it will, because we're not doing most of this stuff. But we do know plenty of folks, and we know plenty of websites, and I think we will see some changes, just not with our clients.
Yeah. Although I also know that we're not the only source of content for some of our clients. So
That is true. That is true.
You know, so whilst they're getting very good, high quality content from SEO Hive on our content plan, which you can find out at seohive.co/content-plan, I do know that a number of clients have content coming in from various places. And some of that will also be based on AI content. So it will be very interesting to see how that's gonna.
We can make our recommendations and suggestions. That's the best we can do.
Yeah, we definitely can. So, you know, that's what's happening. And what we'll do is I've got a couple of links that we can put in the show notes through to the initial release that Google did on the 5th of March 2024 to do with the blog is entitled New Ways We're Tackling Spam and Low Quality Content on Search. And then there's a couple of supporting pages that page links to, but I'll try and get all three in the show notes. So that if you want to know more, by all means, you can go and click around Google's Search Central blog. And, you know, it's the information that's coming direct from them. So I think that brings this show to a bit of a wrap, unless you've got anything inspirational. We should have like a Jeff's closing inspirational section to the show. It'll need a jingle, I think, ultimately. But
no, you put me on the spot, but I got one for everybody today.
Okay.
Be serious about life, but don't take life seriously.
There we go. What more needs to be said?
I'll have one prepared for next week.
I'm gonna have a jingle prepared for next week. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We hope this rambling has been informational for you, or useful for you. And as I say, there'll be links to the blogs that we've been talking about in the show notes. If we don't see you in our inbox, we will see you in the next show.
The WP SEO Show is brought to you by SEO Hive, your agency's proactive white label SEO partner. We understand that finding a reliable SEO supplier is key to ensuring you build stable monthly recurring revenue into your digital agency. At SEO Hive, we have a suite of products that will help you sell, scale and deliver your monthly SEO retainers, from our Scout reports and one-off technical boosters, to our flagship local SEO and honeypot plans, all of which have clear pricing and monthly deliverables. If you want to explore how SEO Hive can help your agency deliver high quality and reliable SEO agreements for your clients, you can find more information at seohive.co and schedule a call to discuss the next steps.